Local talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, your Q, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Here is Shannon Sebastian with your Q on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And here we are on the radio again, Kyle Bailey with Shannon Sebastian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
It's been a very busy day, a very busy week, and I think everybody's ready for the weekend. However, it appears to only be Thursday.
I was also going to ask you about the weekend because I just went and got a little present at the store, and the lady informed me that rain might be in the future, and I know you're a good weather guy. So
rain is definitely in the future for the weekend. Not a lot of it, but it's going to be raining throughout the weekend periodically.
Well, with the forest fires already starting, we could probably use that.
True.
So we'll look at that as a blessing, even though we all do love the sunshine.
Try to put a positive spin on it.
Time to. Here we go. That's your cue. That's what we do here. So I'm really excited today. We are going to be having a special guest on a little bit later, and I'm very excited for her to be on and talk with you. But before we get started today, I wanted to, again, talk about things that I'm grateful for. And thankful for. And so I find that things, sometimes we always look at the big things that we should be thankful for and sometimes overlook the little things that we have in our life that bring us joy or pleasure. And if we start looking at those things as positive things, pretty soon your attitude just completely changes and you're in a better headspace. And so for me, always grateful for the sunshine and grateful for the people that I work with in my family, but also the simple things like Alan just went and got us all drinks and root beer. And so I'm really grateful for root beer right now. So I'd like ice cream in that root beer would be even amazing, but I'm very grateful for the root beer that I have. I'm also grateful, truthfully, for this program and the responses that we have received from some of the listeners just talking about actually from time to time how it's actually already brought them to tears or they've been moved by something. And like Alan said last week, if you were able to listen to the show, he talked about how he had gone out and actually paid for a whole bunch of layaways at Walmart because he had heard about somebody else doing that and it just gave him that idea. And so it's the ripple effect that a show like this can have with the positivity that is one of the main reasons why I'm part of it and wanting to be involved it is to get that ripple effect. And this has kind of been a rough week with things in the news and splitting and dividing some more in our present state of things, I'll just say, in the country. And so I just feel like looking for those small things and doing small gestures of kindness and goodness are really go a long ways. And I had a friend post something about 2 months ago that talked about one of the things that you can do is hug your children and don't let go until that child lets go first. Always let them be the one to let go first. And I really kind of let that sit and resonate with me. And I thought, I'm kind of known for being a good hugger or maybe over hugging or I have a problem. I love to hug people. I love to spread joy. But I thought about that and I thought it really is a great way for us to show our children how much we love them. And so anyway, I challenge everybody, if you have little kids at home and just the next time you hug them, just keep hugging them until they let go and let them tell you when the hug's been enough and just see how that makes you feel, because I really feel like it's the simple things in life that we can get great, great joy from. And so the other thing I'm thankful for this show is the opportunity to share things that, we maybe necessarily don't think about. And that's kind of the topic of what today is about, is donate life and organ donation. This is about a life lost, potentially saving another. Whew, I'm going to get emotional. So, wow, I didn't think I'd do this. Anyway, and so this really hits close to home for me. I have two brothers that I absolutely love and adore. And they've always kind of been like best buddies and not just even brothers. And I lost one of them due to type 1 diabetes and complications from that. He was in need of a kidney transplant and a pancreas transplant, which they often call a SIMO. And he was on the transplant list, and we were doing all the things to get him prepared and ready for that. And unfortunately, he got ill, and he never got healthy enough to get put back on that list. So we lost him, and with all the efforts that we had, we still lost him. But there's so many stories out there of people who receive an organ and it saves their lives, and that's what I'm here today to talk about, and that's what our guests will be on later to talk about, is giving the gift of life. And it's an ultimate gift, honestly. I have my D for donor on my driver's license, and you know, the thing about that is they say that 90% of adults and Americans believe that organ donation is extremely important. However, only less than 60% actually are a donor on their driver's license or have that family discussion that that's what they would like to have happen, if possible, when they pass. And so that's a third of people, you know, that's 30% of people that believe it's important and they believe that it is a good thing, but they haven't taken those steps to make sure that, you know, they have that conversation with their family and that they are a registered donor. And so I just encourage everybody today to think about that for a couple things, to have the conversation with your families that this is your wish, this is what you want to happen when your time comes, and also that you go out and get registered. So those two things are very, 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 very important, and we really hope that you take the time to do that. And we'll talk about why, because we talked a little bit about my brother and why I'm passionate about it, but we're going to talk about some great reasons and some positive outcomes for that. A couple weeks ago on the show, when we were talking about distracted driving, I had mentioned that I was talking to a friend that's what the next episode on the show was going to be about. And she told me about her daughter had been recently in the accident. And it was just kind of like, you know, these are things that sometimes we don't talk about. And I mean, you don't know unless it comes up in the conversation. And so I was messaging with a friend and she had asked, oh, you know, what are your shows on and stuff like that. And we were talking and I told her about this show coming on. And she said, well, you remember, you know, my granddaughter received a heart. And at the time I hadn't remembered that. And then as soon as she told me, it took me right back to the time when her granddaughter was going through that and her daughter, you know, being there for her child and this infant that needed a heart in that case. And I thought about it and I thought the community really came together for them and they had lots of love and support and they were great about keeping people up to date on it. And she's happy and healthy and a beautiful, beautiful young girl. And it's like because of organ donation, because somebody checked the box, because somebody told their family their wishes. And so, you know, we're blessed to have her here and she's in our community and we have another one and we're going to have her on the show after this break. And we're going to talk about the positive sides of this and the wonderful things that we can do to help our fellow citizen and save lives. So please hang on for the next segment of the show. Please listen. Please have your conversations with your families. And I just beg of you that this is important because you just never know which life you're going to save. And you don't know if one of your family members is going to be in this boat later. And that somebody could save your family member's life. So,
you know, we're a few minutes away from the break, but it reminded me of over the years, sometimes we would just cover them in news or I'd hear about them in town, about either organs or bone marrow, different things, mm-hmm. different needs. And sometimes you might know who they were or you might not. But if you've lived in the area a long time, sometimes you're not that many degrees removed from people at least having a clue who they are. And, finding up the road that gave them an extra 5, 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was someone a couple of years ago, I think, who had passed away. I had never really had contact with them, but knew other people who had. And when they needed, I don't remember what the specific need was, but when they had, we're in one of those situations, there was a lot of effort that went into it, was very successful. They got what they needed. And I think it was 20 more years before they died at a more normal, if you will,
right, age.
And, and actually, I think I saw that from an obit in the News Review and went, oh, I remember that person.
Right.
And all of that stuff that had happened. And I looked at the date, and I think there was information about, you know, what had happened in the obituary. And it's like, wow, that really made a difference.
Yeah, it absolutely does make a difference. And if you think about it, and you have that family member, you know, that's ill, it's like what you wouldn't do to give for those 20 more years with that person and that one more day. I know I would. I mean, my brother was extremely, extremely active in my life, and my two oldest boys, my youngest son's actually named after my brother's, his middle name. And so it's like I would give so much to have one more day. So that's what I wish for everybody.
Yeah.
One more day.
And there are opportunities that come up, and you read things later on, because usually those are done, if it's not a family member donating something, you usually don't know. I mean, there's different protocols,
right,
that different medical groups and kind of the HIPAA of donations.
Right.
And but there are opportunities sometimes where people do connect later, those can be, you know, very fascinating for people, even for the person who lost someone, you know, perhaps in a car wreck or something, to
right.
find out later that, hey, because your family, mm-hmm. the person was set to do that, here's what has resulted, you know. And
right.
sometimes it turns around. There was something once a few years ago I heard about where a doctor had kind of like an emergency situation on a infant or a very young child, and they didn't think it was going to make the child was going to make it. Ultimately, they did move up the road about 25 years, and the doctor had long since retired, was older, got in a car wreck, and the person that saved his life was the paramedic whose life he had saved as an infant.
Oh my goodness, that's goosebumps.
And they didn't know. I mean, they had no, you know, this
right.
this got figured out later. Didn't realize it, but I think the person, the paramedic or medical person of some kind, they knew who it was. They'd ultimately found out, but they hadn't really had contact with them. They just were aware of the name, and totally separate lives, no connection, but decades later,
right?
And that person ended up saving the life of the person who'd saved their life earlier.
That almost sounds like a movie. It's just so amazing.
I'm not that good a writer. I just read it.
No, but I mean, it's so amazing. It's like, this is real life, but it really is real life. And this is why it's like, you don't know who it could be that you save or who saves you. You know, we don't know what's going to happen to us via car accident or whatever's going to happen. We don't know what that plan is, but we do know that if we go out and we get our D-marked for donor on our driver's license, that there's a chance that we could save somebody, because there's 8 different organs in our body that can be donated. So, it's at 80% of people on the transplant donation list right now are for kidneys. So it's an overwhelming organ that's in need. And so, my friend's granddaughter. Hers was a heart, and you know, she was obviously a little infant, but that's a rarity. So 88%, that's a large portion are in need of a kidney. So this is again, Donate Life Organ Donation Month and awareness, and so that's what we're here to do, and we hope that you take the time to deal with the DMV right now. Hopefully it opens back up and it makes it easier for everybody, but there's other ways, and there's online and other things that we'll talk about too, for a person to go be able to register as that organ donor.
So, all right, let's take a break, back with more in just a moment. Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Back soon on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 4:26. The afternoon report on the way at 5 with Douglas County's news team. Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group. You're on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you, Kyle. So, funny thing happens with life is sometimes things don't go as planned, and our planned guest is not feeling well at all, and so is unable to come in. So we're going to try to do it via the phone here in a little bit. But and thank you everybody for bearing with me here. I didn't honestly know that I would cry like that or shed some tears. So I just want to say thank you, and if it's anything that you can always get from me, is that I'm pretty transparent and I try to keep it real, and that was honest and genuine and true, and I'll try to make it through the rest of the show keeping it together here. But as you can tell, I'm passionate about this subject and really want to get the word out. So I'm very, very grateful, and thank you for everybody's patience on that, and for the cheerleaders telling me I'm going to make it through it. So I appreciate you all. Thank you, Ellen. I wanted to talk about some of the statistics too that are out there. It says more than 1,700 children received transplants in 2020. There were 860 pediatric organ donors in 2020, and that ranged from newborn to age 17. There were more than 100 pediatric organ donors were babies that were under the age of 12 months. And so it's like, I think sometimes we always think of this as, adults and little children can also have this need due to either a birth defect or, a disease that, an illness that has impacted them, and that it's a side effect of that or the treatment thereof. And so there's many, 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 many reasons why somebody can have an organ fail on them. And so that's just really important to know that, there's many reasons why somebody may need them, and that there's very few in that comparison of number of need of who's out there and available, because you have to be very specific with, do they match? It's not just, is there an organ, and taking one for the other. It's like, are they a match? And that's the process. So I know that with Jessica Guido and Devery Guido, who were going to be on here today, in that situation, one of the cousins was actually going to be the donor. And they had gone through trying to find her a match for a while. And then they found out that Kaylee was going to be a match, and was going to be her kidney sister. And so they went down to California, and while they were awaiting surgery, there became a kidney available, and Devery was there and able to accept that, and is doing well. So they actually went down the beginning of April, and she's doing doing well. And so that's a blessing. It's such a blessing that, you know, here's this beautiful young lady who truly needed this life-saving transplant, you know, to continue going. And in such a young age, you know, it's very important to focus on the positive in this, and that there's these beautiful children in our own community who have been blessed by organ donation. So, like, well, you said earlier.
And it's interesting because we tend to think of that as being a need of adults, midlife and older, usually. And it is, you know, it's, I don't know the medical stats, but at least my perception is that it's rarer with kids. But at that point, it's just as important.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, everybody would want to help in some way if they knew there was something they could do to help. Like you had talked about bone marrow transplant. It's so easy to go in and have a test done, or if they do a marrow drive, just to do that, to see if you may. Because what they do is they don't just put it in Douglas County. They put it all over the U.S. And the life you may save, maybe in New York or, you know, Maine or some of you, Florida, you know, clear on the other East Coast. And you don't know who you're saving, but does it really make a difference? I mean, if you're helping save the life of somebody else, it really doesn't make a difference who they are or where they are, I would hope, if your purpose is to just bless somebody with the gift of life or a fresh start. One of the things that when my brother passed is, and I don't write a lot of poems or anything like that, but for some reason that was my way of kind of getting through it and expressing like my feelings and my thoughts, was to put it to paper. And when reading things and statistics on the organ donation, you know, one of the poems popped up to me, and it's an unknown author. So this isn't what I wrote for my brother at all, but just to honor him, to read a poem. But this is about organ donation, and it says, "When I am gone and no longer around, when you have buried me deep in the ground, I hope you have listened to what I have said. My organs are really no use to me dead. Take them out and share them around. Shout from the rooftops, a donor we found. My liver, my kidneys, my lungs, and my heart are just a few things to give someone a fresh start." And again, that's an author unknown, but that's the way to feel about it. It's like, what, other than some people's religious beliefs, which I'm really respectful of, and if you don't do it because of that, I completely understand. And if it's just your choice and you're not comfortable with it, I understand. But if you're one of those 90% that really feel like this is important and that agree that it does save lives, but you're not, you know, in already in that 60% that is, that believes that and is an organ donation, if you're in that 30%, go out and get registered, do it online, do it with the DMV. There's multiple ways to do it, but please go out and do that and check. So make sure that you are. Go check your cards. I know we all have the new organ driver's license, and I literally had to look mine over. I'm so used to the old one that I had to make sure it was on there and it is. So go look for that, for your D for donor on your driver's license. If it's not on there and you feel like that's something you want to do, please, please do so. I'm going to just keep repeating that because I'm trying to have it sink into everybody that this is important. One of the things that I really honestly feel that is important is we are in a National Pediatric Transplant Week, which is April 18th through the 24th. So it's a good time to do that. It's a good time to honor that week. It's a good out. You can go to Donate Life. There's multiple sites that a person can go to. Also, there are, in talking with Jessica, one of the things that she said is if people really wanted to donate, like if that's what you feel like you want to do is donate money, that there's things that organizations that they have found that have better helped them than others. And through talking with other families, that has really been helpful. And one of them is called CODA, which stands for Children's Organ Transplant Association. And they provide a platform and tools to help raise money to cover transplant-related expenses. One of the really cool things, and I'm bummed Jessica's not here right now to talk about this because it was pretty awesome. I always talk about how amazing I think Douglas County is on the show and how proud I am to be from here and how I think we take care of our own. Well, there was proof in that in this particular case with Devery. So she did a fundraiser to raise money for the her medical expenses. And it ended up, I believe, being the biggest one in the nation that they had through this platform that they use. And that's just because Douglas County shows up. And we do, and we do it big, and we do it proud. And to me, that's the uplifting side, is just how great Douglas County is and how great we are as a community. And we're taking care of our own. And I think that's really super important. And that they've been able to get through this without, you know, that major worry of, you know, are we going to lose a house? Are we going to lose, you know, everything from this, you know, trying to save their daughter? And so I just feel like that's the last thing a parent should have on their mind when they're trying to take care of their sick child and be in the hospital and, you know, just do what's best for their child, is having that hovering over them, all this financial burden. And so, again, one more time where Douglas County showed up and was amazing. And that's really cool.
And that can be very daunting when, even if you've got significant resources, you have plans for them generally. And, you know, if you've got retirement money or, you know, investments or whatever, and you realize that even with draining all of that, it's not going to get to the number you need.
No, and I think, you know, I mean, I am a health insurance broker, and so I know from that side, you know, we do have our, if you have your health insurance, you have your stop losses or your maximum out of pockets. But the thing with organ donation that's really important to know as well is it's like, it doesn't stop the day you get the transplant. You're on rejection, anti-rejection drugs for a very, very long time. You're still needing care and follow-up and high expenditures, you know, for your aftercare and for your medications. And so for me, it's a long process. It's not just, okay, we need to raise $20,000 for this transplant or something like that. It's a long time out. And so to be able to have coverage and have resources and that other to cover the things that, you know, you might have not been able to cover is just hugely such a blessing. And that's why, you know, I hear a lot of stories about things like this through AFLAC, and it's just a huge blessing when you see that the financial piece of it is something that a family doesn't have to worry about, and all they have to do is focus on loving their baby or loving their loved one and getting them through it. That's important. So again, thank you, Douglas County, for showing up for that and making that all that they really needed to worry about was taking care of Devery and seeing to it that she got the best care that she could and all of that. So very, very, very grateful when she shared that with me.
Going to take a break. Back with more. Your Q with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Back soon on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 4:41, 19 minutes away from the afternoon report at 5 with Douglas County's news team. And indeed, some rain coming in for the weekend. You'll hear more, the entire forecast on the way. But last weekend and this coming weekend are not going to be anywhere near the same. Last weekend was so great with all the sunshine.
Yeah, I'm going to plan new plans.
86 last Sunday. Do you remember that? That was incredible.
Yes, I worked.
But
I did outside work. I didn't walk the 20-some miles that you do, but
I took full advantage of that and have a little bit too much tan, I've been told. But no, that was great to be out in the sun. We need the rain right now, so we'll put up with that. So you're talking about all these opportunities out there and how people... You know, really, it's a matter of life and death sometimes with, you know, needing organ donations and whether or not you can get them.
Right. And one of the things that I think that we, you know, in talking about, you know, Douglas County and being generous, and my friend texted me while we're on here, messaged me and said that the same thing happened with her and her grandchild and her daughter, Ricky, that was that the Douglas County showed up and helped them, even though, you know, they were many, many, many miles away. I mean, that's usually where with the children, they end up in California typically. So they're, you know, our local kids aren't anywhere near family. So you're all displaced. And when you're going through this, and that Douglas County really showed up for them as well. And I think that that's, you know, again, just in a testament to how great we are here. And we should toot our own horn on that. So.
And of course, sometimes you have situations that just varies with what the issue is, that kids are up at Dornbecker in mm-hmm. Portland. And sometimes if they're there for quite a while, and there's a lot of resources available to help. We've had local efforts here from folks in the area who've been helped out, who, you know, pay it forward and try to help the next group of people who need help. And because sometimes it's, you have all the medical aspects of, you know, how to pay for things or what to do. But then what happens when you're dealing with all that and you really can't do the job that makes your income for a
right.
while? How
right.
do you deal with that? What's your employer going to do? Or how much, you know, if you're going to Portland every week, which I know people who've had to do that, you know, how do you pay for all that gas? You know, all that kind of thing. So there's a lot
right.
of ways that people help out, you know, in very different ways.
Right. I know that when my youngest son was born, he had a lot of medical needs. And so we made the trip to Dornbecker's many, 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 many times. And they are absolutely wonderful up there. Oh, such a fabulous hospital. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. The care was just so amazing. And I feel like you just find a way. But oftentimes, you know, a mom and a dad or are separated because one's having to stay home and take care of other children or keep the job that keeps the lights on, that keeps things going, or they trade off, or another family member, because this is definitely a long haul, especially in my friend Ellen's granddaughter's case. It's like they were down there for 3 months. It was a long time. And so they weren't home, you know, and you just really honestly try to do the best that you can and focus on what's important. And that's making sure that you do everything for the one that needs it. And that's what you have to focus on. But it is amazing what these families go through with being divided or not being able to be together or, you know, splitting responsibilities. And it's a lot. So For everybody out there that supported somebody that's gone through this or is a caregiver for somebody in your family, transplant or not, you know, God bless you, because that is a huge task. And it's also a huge tap, you know, on our own resources. And so like when you're talking about, they say for every year that you're a full-time caregiver for a family member, you know, it can take, or for every 2 years that you're a full-time caregiver for a family member, it can take like a year off your own life, because that's really it really is a drain on our resources and our energy and stuff like that. But it is so terribly important to be there for our loved ones when they need us, and so very much for that. And so I really appreciate the fact that these two families that were from Douglas County felt that support, felt that love, felt that care. Oh, but Ellen just messaged me. They were in Seattle, not California. I know Devery was in California. So,
well, and you have situations, too, that are, you know, for instance, Camp Millennium with kids with cancer and
right.
giving them a normal experience and giving their parents a week off and you know, all that goes into mm-hmm. doing that with medical help and scores of volunteers at different mm-hmm. points through the year and the benefit, you know, the difference that can make for that family's life, sometimes just for the parents to get a week to not have to deal with all that.
Right. Well, and Ronald McDonald Houses have been a huge blessing to a lot of people that I know. Children's Miracle Network, when you see all the balloons around Dairy Queen and Costco and all of that, that money is directly going to help people's children and to help the families be able to be there and stay with their children and not have to be separated from them during that time. So sometimes those little dollar balloons add up to make a big difference in somebody's life. So there's multiple wonderful organizations out there. And again, Jessica had told us about CODA, which was the Children's Oregon Transplant Association, and how it had been so impactful and helpful to them in a multitude of ways, with information, resources, pairing you up with like other parents that are going through the same thing so you can have these support groups. And nobody knows what we've gone through in whatever you're dealing with in life unless they've walked a mile in your shoes. So to find those moms and dads and families that have walked a mile in your shoes through transplant is so important, to have that person that you can talk to and actually knows what you're experiencing and knows your feelings, and not that you're going to commiserate with them, but you're going to support each other through it and really help each other emotionally get through that. And so the bonds and the relationships that are made are really amazing and touch lives. And then, like you said, sometimes it's with the donor family. Sometimes you do find out, and sometimes you don't find out who it is. But
And even whether it's as a professional or as a volunteer, sometimes people who have gone through that themselves decide, okay, we made it through, we're up the road a ways, now I'm going to, you know, I know what this is like, so I can help people. Sometimes that ends up being a second career, you know, at an organization, or more often it ends up being a volunteer role in one of these nonprofits that helps, you know, families out, people out, because they have gone down that road, and so they can really do a good job of explaining for you what you're in for.
Absolutely. I think that one of the really neat things, too, with talking with Jessica was that there's a young lady from our area, Skylar, who has followed their journey and had asked to follow their journey. And I think sometimes she publishes some things in the News Review, actually. And so if you want to read more or see more about Jessica and her daughter Devery's journey, you can go to Skylar, and that's Skylar Knox, KNOX.com. And there's some beautiful pictures of Devery on there and their journey, and it talks about a lot of this, the whole process that they've gone through. Honestly, it's like a journal that Skylar's done with them. And so you can go on there and read that for yourself and follow their journey and see this beautiful young lady who is now, you're on anti-rejection drugs, and it's a start of a new journey when you get a transplant. And this is her second, because she had already had one. I believe Jessica gave her a part of her liver or something like that. So this was her second transplant, but first for the kidney. So, you know, they still have a journey to go, but she's such a beautiful, wonderful young child. And we're just blessed to you know, have her in our community and love and support this family through the process.
So I would imagine that for a lot of people getting through this past year of COVID and everything that went with that, maybe if your life has gone reasonably well, nobody's has gone perfect, I can tell you that, the last year.
I think most people would agree with that.
But, you know, if it's gone reasonably well, maybe you realize, because you've been exposed to folks who haven't, had a life that's gone very well this past year. Maybe it was tied into, you know, business changes or economic aspects of the pandemic and, you know, layoffs, or only working part of the time because of what you do, or having to lay off employees or things like that. So a lot of people have observed a lot of things for those around them that hopefully this makes you more empathetic going forward.
Absolutely.
I think that, in fact, there was one of the stores that I frequent several weeks ago, there was some new change and you had to show them, honestly, you had to show them your ID to buy wine, even if you're my age, just because they were going through something and that was what the protocol was at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And the checker, who I wasn't familiar with, I could tell that probably not everybody had responded really well to that you know, that they had to do it. I mean, like literally, it won't ring you up for that purchase until it's coded in your, you know, license, or, you know, they've mm-hmm. had to check something. And I grabbed my license out and she said something about, well, thank you for being understanding. And I said, after the past year, you know, stuff like this is like, who cares? They want to see it. They need to see it. Fine. It's not something I'm going to be worried about. Yeah. A year ago, I might've been a little like, why do I look like I'm 21? but the answer is no, by the way. But I mean, you know, the things that I think a lot of people are worrying about less things right now, these little, you know, things that used to bug us before, if everything else is going reasonably well, who cares?
Well, and that's at the beginning of the show, kind of what I was talking about. It's like, let's focus on even if they're small things, the things that are positive, and kind of let a lot of the other stuff slide, because this is a big deal. Losing a family member or struggling through something like this is a big deal. This is the things that a person should fret, you know, or, you know, have angst about. It shouldn't be about if you have to show your license to get your wine. Like, it's okay. Show your license. It's all right. So I'm glad you were nice.
Well, good. We're going to take our final break, come back, and wrap things up. Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group. Back soon on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Final segment of Your Cue with Shannon Sebastian, presented by Premier Insurance Group here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Just about 3 minutes to wrap things up for this week.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, everybody, thank you for bearing with this. You know, Jessica fell ill. They're all ill, so we want to pray for a circle of protection around their family and keep Devery safe and healthy and everybody. So, but thank you for hanging in there with us without our guest here today. Wanted to talk about next week. We will have Dr. Tim Powell from Evergreen Family Medicine on here, talking about some of the great things they have going on out in the community. Upcoming this weekend, the Sleep in Heavenly Peace has their bunk bed build, and I think they're looking for volunteers. I think the contact person for that is JP Wilson, and I can put that number out on our Q page. If you want to go to yourqfacebook.com, I'll have that information out there for that. And then upcoming this next week is, I think, Wednesday the 28th, is P3, a company here, is doing a healthy aging seminar at the Senior Center. And so they wanted us to let people know about that, and that's from 11:15 to 12 at the Roseburg Senior Center. So things are starting maybe to finally go on there, so I'm pretty excited about that. We also wanted to let you know that please call us and let us or email us at yourq@pciradio.com. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know how we can help. And we'd really like to bless the community with some wonderful charitable things. So let us know if there's anybody in need, and we're here to help. And that's what we're all about. And also, if you need to, you can call me at Premier Insurance. That's where I'm at, if you need anything there. And we really look forward to seeing you guys next week and having Dr. Powell on the show.
And by the way, somebody asked me this the other day for mm-hmm. the Facebook page. You should probably explain that it's not the letter Q.
Yes, it's Your Cue, C-U-E. So, and we do post it. We post the blogs on there, too, afterwards, so that you can hear the show if you missed it. And so that's YourCue at Facebook.com.
And, of course, this podcast will be up shortly after 5 here in just a few minutes at 541radio.com on the KQEN podcast page.
Yes, go there. Check that out. Everybody, again, thank you for today. Thank you for bearing with us and for the tears. And see you next week.
All right. Your Cue back next Thursday at 4, News Radio 1240, KQEN.